Mental health advocates are finding that people with disabilities usually do better in a place of their own rather than an institution or even a group home. But when mentally ill people try to move into the mainstream of society this way, they often meet resistance. A lot of neighborhoods yank away the welcome mat when somebody with a serious mental illness tries to move in. In the third installment of our series on finding homes for people who need supports and services, NPR's Joanne Silberner takes us to a neighborhood that feels squeezed between its own needs and its duty to others.
Word travels fast in Manchester, a tightly knit, low and middle income Pittsburgh community. Last January, neighbors got worried. They saw some strange men going in and out of two houses across the street from the elementary school on Juniata Street. They turned to the executive director of the local community group, Rhonda Brandon.
I received a call on, say, like a Friday. No, sorry, a Tuesday. And someone had said that I was aware of the fact that there was a shelter down on Juniata Street, and they were housing homeless men.
Who are these men, the neighbors demanded. What are they doing here? Brandon called around and found out. A church group had rented four apartments in the buildings and placed the men there. The men were not only homeless, they were mentally ill. She was upset enough to call a meeting with the church group. Brandon wanted them to explain why they hadn't told anyone they were moving the men into the neighborhood.
You know what really gets me in all of this? If you have no fear and you're doing something right, then you're not afraid to tell people this is what's going on. You don't have to do it in the shadows, in the darkness. And obviously, they knew that there would be some opposition to this, or they would have put it on the table.
Manchester is a neighborhood that's on its way back from tough times. The community group is playing a big role in the comeback. But Juniata Street is still iffy. Drugs are openly sold on the corner, and gunshots are not uncommon. The board members felt that Juniata Street had enough challenges already, and Manchester had more than its fair share of housing for the homeless, the disabled, the addicts, the mentally ill. At the meeting, Janet Holtz defended her church group, Northside Common Ministries.
I tried to say that agencies like ours, Northside Common Ministries, or others, don't just sit down and try to find the poorest, poor black neighborhood that we can put people that we serve to live.
But her group had grant money that had to be spent immediately. They had four men who needed housing, and they were legally entitled to rent the apartments.
These apartments were available for rent on the open market. They're zoned for that. I don't expect in the neighborhood where I live, which is also here on the north side, to be able to say who's moving into the apartment buildings on my street. The landlord doesn't say, Janet, is it okay for this particular individual to move next door to you?
The debate at the meeting was heated. It struck at the heart of the community. 76-year-old resident Virginia Barnes listened intently. She's been on the community board since 1989, reelected easily each time. She agreed with the others at the meeting that these houses could hurt the neighborhood.
We get more of these places dumped in the black community. It is unfair. If you live in a very prosperous neighborhood, they just don't tolerate things like that. They just don't tolerate them.
But something would seriously challenge her conviction that the men shouldn't be on Juniata Street. Virginia's husband grew up in Manchester. She came to the neighborhood when they got married in 1952. They raised their four children here. She's taught Sunday school for decades. She's proud of her neighborhood, a pride that's evident if you can keep up with her on a walking tour.
Mostly I'm in a big hurry, so I move real fast.
Today she's wearing a red baseball cap and white tennis shoes.
Okay, I think we can run across now.
She stops at a community flower garden she founded years ago in an esplanade down the middle of a street.
And I'm sort of proud when it looks nice. When it gets weedy, I get kind of upset.
Virginia points out everything from boarded up brick shells to 50s modern boxes to majestic Victorians.
I want you all to see the porch houses. They are so pretty. Those porches are just beautiful.
But her mood changes as she passes the elementary school and crosses Juniata Street.
This is the house, this one right here to the left.
Virginia points to a two-story mustard-colored brick house, a front porch, no yard. Since the contentious meeting, Virginia has been doing some thinking. and her desire to see the men inside this house leave has run smack into something very important to Virginia, her faith.
As a person who is trying to be Christ-like, you just don't shut people off. You just don't give up on them. But I don't know how many times you keep giving them the same chance. I really do feel very sorry for them. I do feel sorry for them. But what are you supposed to do?
Virginia's only seen the houses from the outside. What she'd see if she went in is utilitarian, nothing fancy. The walls are freshly painted. There's wall-to-wall carpeting. In the common area kitchen, the men take turns cooking. Tonight is Darnell's night.
I'm cooking a little chili. It's kind of easy to make.
The pot bubbles on the gas stove.
Can't forget the ground meat. Fry that a little bit and put it in the pot.
A staffer supervises the cooking. There's someone on hand 24 hours a day who makes sure the men take their medications. On the wall is a job chart listing who's cooking what nights, and each man's cleaning chores for the common area. In his own spotless apartment next door, one of the men is waiting for dinner.
My name is Rocky Waters. That is my real name. That's not no middle name or no makeup name. That is my real name.
For 28 years before coming to Juniata Street, Rocky was homeless. His last address was a graveyard.
When I lived on the street, I was hit by a train, ran over by a train. I was shot 5 times. I was locked up more times than you probably got fingers and toes, and didn't care. Still have a little bit of that in me.
He's been diagnosed with severe depression and alcoholism. But now Rocky has his own bed, kitchenette, TV, and a painting of The Last Supper. Rocky has sparse gray hair and fading tattoos. He's so skinny he's almost lost in a plush burgundy chair. He bought it with money from his disability check.
My chair is a reclining chair, got vibrators, a heater, got just about everything you can name. It's got on it. Now, if somebody would have told me a year ago I'd be sitting in a $800 recliner chair, I'd have called him a liar.
The neighbors are a little scared. It was only a couple of years ago that a homeless man wandered into a nearby community and killed a young boy. But these men are in a supervised program, and Rocky says the neighbors have nothing to fear.
Afraid of me? They have no reason whatsoever to be afraid of me. The only person that has to be afraid of me is me. Because I know if I go out there and drink, I just won't go back to the graveyard and live.
He says the apartments aren't what's holding the neighborhood back.
I sat out on the porch just last night. I watched over $1,000 or more turn hands for dope. I've been all over this city, but I see more dope going on here than I've seen anywhere else in the city. Now, here we are, a program with no one using. We are an improvement to this area, not a disprovement.
But many of the neighbors are skeptical. The next day, a few blocks away at Bidwell Presbyterian Church.
We had curry chicken salad by Virginia Barnes, and Tilly Smith made the pineapple upside down cake.
A group of older women are enjoying their weekly luncheon.
What is this, celery sticks?
Cheese sticks, mozzarella cheese.
Virginia is an elder at the church. She helps put on the lunch every Tuesday. Also on the menu today, coleslaw, iced tea, and lively conversation. There's always a variety of opinions here. Today, the topic is the houses on Juniata Street.
I feel okay because they have to have somewhere to live, too.
I'm mad as hell about it. It's almost like they snuck into the neighborhood.
It's no problem for me. Like they say, if I can help them, I'll be happy to. Somebody might have to help me and very soon.
Virginia leaves the church lunch to take a rare break.
Oh, wait a minute. I wanted to show you the sanctuary.
The situation on Juniata Street has been bothering her more and more. And even conversations with her daughters haven't helped her reconcile her feelings about her neighborhood with her religious convictions.
This is a complicated situation. I wish Reverend Welch were here to help me out on this.
Reverend John Welch, a tall, elegant man, stops by and takes a chair next to her in the cool brick sanctuary. There's a friendly banter between the two, but he doesn't make it any easier on Virginia. He's unequivocally in favor of having the men in the neighborhood.
Sounds like a potential blessing for the black community. Now, I'm not saying that we should open up our arms and have everything dumped on them. We don't want hazardous waste by any means. But, you know, when we're talking about human resources, that's a different matter. Now, a true community will recognize that there are people like that are moving in and will open their arms and will do what they can to make them feel a part of the community. Tell them about the stores in the area. Take them to the store. Tell them about their local church. Escort them to their local church. That is the love ethic in action.
Even if it affects the value of people's homes, he says.
You know, it doesn't matter how much work went into the community. You know, if somebody is in need of housing, if we have the means and resources to provide it, we should do it.
Virginia nods, not in agreement, but in respect. As she walks back downstairs to the lunch, she stops.
I can't be against those people. It would not be Christian of me. So you see, I have to be on the fence. I cannot fully be against them, and I cannot be fully for them.
Whatever Virginia ultimately decides, her community group, Manchester Citizens Corporation, is pressuring the city council to close down the apartments. Northside Common Ministries has decided to move a couple of the men into a two-bedroom apartment in another, more welcoming neighborhood. Because it's safer, they say, not because of community opposition. Rocky, though, will stay in Manchester. He doesn't want to share a place. His caseworker says Rocky can handle Manchester's rougher edges. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Pittsburgh.
Our story was produced by Rebecca Davis. There are photos from the Manchester neighborhood and lots more information about NPR's year-long Housing First project on our website, npr.org.
Next week, we hear how disability activists have pushed to move people out of nursing homes and changed state policy along the way.